You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
So welcome to this week's podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Glad that you're with us. I'm Gary Bauer, and we're with you every week, and we'd like you to join us and bring your friends. Tell your friends about it. Tell your family members, people at your church. We really want you to be part of this conversation. Faith, family, and freedom. Those are the three arenas that Dr. James Dobson and his wife Shirley have devoted their entire lives to. Decades of fighting in those arenas for your family, your freedom, your religious liberty. So we're glad that you're with us today to be part of this ongoing effort. Today's podcast is going to be sort of a Paul Revere moment. Relax, I'm not going to take you back and give you a boring lesson about Paul Revere. I trust you. You remember from your history days who he was, the guy that got on his horse, rode through those colonial villages, warning people that danger was coming, that they needed to run to the front lines. And I think actually in many ways, that's where we are today. I want to talk to you about three Christians, just average men and women, just like you and I. The first one is a 19-year-old police officer who got his first job in a small town in rural Georgia. He was getting great marks, great appraisals from his bosses. This is the career he always wanted. But one night he made a mistake. He went online, didn't go to a porn site or some hate group or anything like that. He just went on his personal social media, and he said, or he wrote, that for him as a Christian, marriage would always be between a man and a woman. And then he made some references to Ephesians 5, the chapter that describes marriage being between a man and a woman, and also compares it to the union of Christ with his church. The next day when he went into work, his boss called him in and said, take that down now and don't ever put up something like that again or you will be fired. Now, I want to emphasize, he wasn't talking about homosexuality. He wasn't using difficult adjectives to describe the LGBTQ movement. He simply made a statement about the traditional Christian worldview on the meaning of marriage. So this 19-year-old, I admire his courage. He told his boss, hey, look, I can't agree that I won't talk about the Christian view of marriage again. I did it on my own time. I didn't do it at the workplace. So I guess I need to move on. The second case involves a Christian teacher out in California. Now, for those of you that follow what's going on in the culture or politics at all, California isn't a small town in Georgia. It is a state that is firmly in the hands of folks that call themselves progressives. Quite frankly, a lot of people in the state legislature are sort of left-wing cultural radicals. The governor of California, Governor Newsom, most governors try to compete with other states to see who can attract the most jobs to their state. Governor Newsom is out there competing on who can perform the most abortions in a state. Governor Newsom has literally gone around the country, put up billboards that tell women in pro-life states, look, if you're not able to get the abortion in your state, come to California. We'll give you that abortion here. It's an abortion sanctuary state. And it's also a state that is all in on radical transgender ideology. So teachers and school employees in California have been told, if you have a student in your class, no matter what that student's age, and they tell you they think they might be a transgender, they may actually be a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl trapped in a boy's body, that you as the teacher or as the school counselor cannot, under any circumstances, share that information with the parents of that child. And that's information I think virtually any parent would want to know, because the implications are really dramatic and radical. Well, a teacher out there, a Christian teacher, went to her principal and said, I can't do this. I can't lie to parents, either overtly or by omission. And the principal said, I understand. You're fired. I mean, these are the rules of the state of California. These are the rules in this school district. If you can't do this, you can't work here. So that teacher left her job. Now, the third case is somebody in maybe a little bit more powerful position. This is a Christian woman in the state of Wisconsin who was running to fill a vacancy on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They elect their Supreme Court justices in that state, a little unusual, but it is done in some states. And the primary came up. She lost her primary. And I had heard a little bit about her, so I was watching online as she gave her concession speech. It was really a quite beautiful thing to hear. No sour grapes. She wasn't accusing anybody of cheating. She said, you know, we fought the good fight. We did our best, but it didn't work out. And it was also kind of an emotional thing to watch. Her teenage daughter tried to control herself, but she started crying and she was being comforted by her dad. The failed candidate, the defeated candidate, said, "Look, I don't want my supporters to walk away from government and politics." In fact, she named another candidate. She said, "This individual is somebody I think we can all support. So I hope you'll consider voting for him." And then the last thing she said was, "And of course, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's with me on the good days and the bad days." And the website I was watching all this on suddenly got inundated with people that wanted to comment on that last statement. And many of the comments really had this theme. People said, you know, I didn't know very much about her. But now that I heard her say that last statement, I'm really glad she lost, because we can't trust somebody like that on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. Well, goodness gracious, that's exactly the kind of person that you want on a court, somebody that is able to have empathy, somebody that believes what the Bible teaches about helping those in need, standing up for the defenseless, and so forth. Well, the reason I'm bringing up these three, in some ways, extraordinary individuals is because they all found themselves in a position that I'm afraid a lot of us might find ourselves in the years ahead. They had to choose between serving Caesar or following the demands of Caesar or serving Jesus Christ and being sure to kneel at the foot of the cross. What they were experiencing is something that in most of American history, Christians have never had to do. Through our history from colonial times all the way up until about 20 years ago, you could be a good American and a good Christian without a lot of dilemmas in that decision. But increasingly today, Christians are finding themselves in the position of that police officer, that school teacher, and of that candidate for higher office. Now, this is happening at a time when a lot of people in the church are saying, either out of frustration or for other reasons, I don't want to get involved in politics. I'm not interested in politics. I'm not interested in government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you may not be interested in politics and government. I understand. These are not pleasant things. But government is interested in you. Politics is interested in you. If you don't go into the public square, somebody will take your place. And in a lot of cases, the person that will take your place has quite a different vision of what America should be. And increasingly, they will support laws that will make it harder for you to have a Christian family or to raise your children in the context of Christian values. This is a serious moment in America. So the action item here is pretty clear. First of all, the action item is always to pray that our country will avert, will get off of the path that it's on now. But there's also other actions that we urge you to take. We would urge you and your church and in your family to have some serious conversations about this. What are you going to do down the road if you find yourself in a position where you're going to have to choose between Jesus or Caesar? By the way, I hope you know your Bible enough to know there's a lot of biblical examples of people that had to make that decision, examples that can inspire you and give you direction on what you ought to do. And then the third thing we want to ask you to do is to rethink your decision if you're one of those people that have decided that the public square is not for you. You don't want to go to that school board meeting. You don't want to speak up at work. You don't want to go to the polling place on a Tuesday in November and vote your Christian values. You'll leave that to others. We'd like you to pray about that decision because, again, if you're not in the public square, it's very unlikely that America will continue in the right direction. In fact, it's much more likely that we will continue to go down the wrong road that is disturbing so many Christians now. Well, that's our message for today. I hope you'll be back next week. I hope you'll, again, remind friends, people you go to church with, family members to tune in as we at the James Dobson Family Institute continue to tell you how you can defend faith, family, and freedom. See you next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.